The Gestalt Gardener podcast is brought to you by Varicosity Vein Center, providing health assessment screenings and compassionate care to improve your vascular functionality and quality of life. Our doctors and vein specialists offer solutions to painful varicose veins, spider veins, and other venous diseases to our patients. Now offering complimentary vein screenings in Jackson, Madison, and Ridgeland. Information and appointment scheduling at varicosityveincenter.com.
Good morning, good morning. Ain't it a great morning outside? I mean, it is beautiful. Hey, y'all, I'm horticulturist Phil DeRushing, and for the next hour or so, here on Mississippi Public Broadcasting, we're going to talk about gardening. A lot of stuff going on this time of year. Spring is busting loose. There's some things you're tempted to do, and I would recommend putting them off if you can. Not like there's not plenty of else to do. But for the next hour, we're just going to talk about it. Kind of cheesy tune, kind of an earworm, going to throw you away, but share a few emails. But it's a live program. So me and Java Chapman, Kevin Farrell, we're going to be taking your calls and talking about nothing but gardening. I don't sell anything. Doesn't matter to me what you do, so we're going to go in any direction at all. Again, Phil DeRushing, Mississippi Public Broadcasting Gestalt Gardener. For the next hour or so, we're going to get dirty. See you in just a minute after some news.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.
Okie dokie, folks. Welcome back. Horticulturist Phil DeRushing. We're going to be talking about gardening for the next little while. And there's a lot of things going on right now. I'm going to announce a few of them. If they're anywhere near your neck of the woods, I hope you get a chance to participate. If something I'm doing something with, I hope to get to meet you. But for the next hour, it's just talking about gardening, whatever you want to talk about. I mean, I've got agendas. I can talk for an hour. I'm a retired extension horticulturist. I can talk for 45 minutes about a pencil, okay? But if there's something on your mind, something you want to talk about, could be positive, could be negative, could be concerned. Maybe you heard something you're not sure about. You want to just, I mean, all I can do is give my opinion. It's professional and based on experience and training. But I'm not going to try to sell you anything. I'm not going to try to talk you into or out of anything. Just going to throw it out as if it was just we're chatting, you know, at the coffee shop. That's all we're going to be doing next hour or so. And it is toll free. It's 1-877-MPB-RING. 877-MPB-RING. That's pretty much anywhere you are. Do the one thing, 1-877-MPB, I guess, from the cell phone. I don't know if you have to do that or not. But again, we're just going to be talking about gardening. And if there's some things on your mind, shoot me a phone call. By the way, you can also email us, garden@mpbonline.org. I've got a few things that I think there's three that I haven't answered yet because I had to scratch my head on a couple of them, and there's a couple that I'm just not sure the best approach. But I do try to get around to my emails at least every couple of 3 days when I'm gone. So anyway, if there's some things you want to talk about, shoot me an email. We're going to be talking about, or give me a call. And it's, again, toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. We're going to start out right off the bat talking with Jim in Jackson. Hey, Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Felder. Jim Rosenblatt here.
Yeah, good to hear from you. What's up?
Well, our azaleas are starting to bloom, and I always look forward to that magnificent display. But after they finish blooming, I'm going to do some trimming, and I've had two bits of advice.
Yeah.
One says that you need to do a very careful trim, reaching down into the bush and cutting out selective branches. And the other approach is to take my hedger and just give them a haircut. And do you have any thoughts on that, or is that like crepe myrtles and you can go either way?
Well, you can go either way. There's a couple of considerations. If you cut them off just straight across, well, not straight across, like in a snow cone shape, you know, a curved top, then they'll put out a nice little snow cone shaped growth. They always put out growth right where you make a cut. So whether it's here or there or further down, wherever you make a cut, even a foot tall to something as big around your arm, it's going to put out growth right there. So if you can do the snow cone shape, cut it down below where you want it to grow back up to. And then come back a second time, sometime in June or maybe early July, and cut that new growth a little bit so it in turn bushes out instead of shooting up overhead. So if you're going to prune it in an overall shape, do it at least twice. One kind of hard, and then again in the before the middle of the summer, so it's nice and smooth. The other thing is just reaching in. A lot of times you can reach in and make one cut that's got four or five tall things connected to it. So, you know, if you've just got kind of an informal look and it doesn't have to be nice and tight like a meatball, a lot of times it's easier just go in and make a few snips down in the shrub to get rid of the tall stuff. And either way works. The second one takes a little bit more thought. It's a lot less work, though.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and I hope Ira does well on his deployment.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Jim.
Thanks, Felder.
That's Dean Rosenblatt. My son is an Army officer. He's going to be deployed this weekend, so we'll all be thinking about him and all the other folks who are armed services who are being deployed. Let's go down to Madison. Hey, Ruthie, good morning. Ruthie, hello.
Hey, how are you today,
I'm
Felder?
Fine. What's going on?
Well, I've got some damage from the freeze that we had week before last.
Mm-hmm.
My azaleas were just looking like they were going to start blooming, and now they've browned at the ends. I've got a few sporadic blooms, but the foliage is looking bad, and mm-hmm. I just wondered what the best way to help the plants do. I just cut them back hard after these few blooms get through?
Well, you could just ignore them. I mean, they'll put out new growth. It's not that big a deal. A lot of the stuff that got damaged is real tender. I even had a ligustrum. You can't kill a ligustrum with a dump truck full of ice. And the new growth on mine got burned back a little bit. It doesn't look that great, but, you know, I just take my glasses off when I go by, and it's not a big deal. So you could just ignore it, and the new growth is going to come out later, will be nice and clean. But if you want to prune it, there's no problem doing that. I just wouldn't prune on azaleas or other spring bloomers past about the middle of the summer because they need time to set their flower buds by fall.
No, I would do this pretty quickly whatever blooms are there, just let them go and then trim it back a little.
Yeah, and then if you don't have anything else to do, you know, you can whack on them. If you do, don't worry about it.
Okay. What about Pittosporum? Because my husband had just cut back my Pittosporum, and it looks real. It's not healthy looking. It's not coming back out.
A little bit early. A lot of plants are just now putting on this. You know, some plants put out new growth early, some a little bit later. I can't remember about Pittosporum. It's been a long time since I grew that because they got damaged really, really bad in a hard freeze of a few years back. But anyway, they will put out new growth. Damage is temporary with plants.
Okay. Thank you so much, Bill.
Okay, Ruthie. Hey, thanks for calling.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Number is toll-free, 1-877-MPB-RING. There are several events going on this weekend and coming up this next week. I want to give a shout-out about them. But meanwhile, let's go down to Tupelo, up to Tupelo. Hey, Charlie, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Fine, thank you.
Good. I recently bought a new house, and the previous owner didn't get around to trimming off the hydrangeas. So I've got last year's blooms still there.
Yeah.
At this point in the year, is it okay to trim those off, or do you just need to let them hang out?
Well, a couple of things. If they're the old-fashioned kind of hydrangeas, they bloom on the new growth that's going to come out if it comes off of last year's twigs. So if you wanted to, you could prune them back. Follow the stems from the end where the dried flower bracts are. Follow that back to where they started a year ago. And as long as you leave about half of that, the growth that will come out a little bit later will bloom perfectly fine. And I know they've already got all sorts of new growth, but, you know, don't worry about that. If you want to prune them back, just leave some of last year's growth so they'll still bloom this summer.
Perfect. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Unsolicited advice, you can also just get some spray paint those things and let the new growth come around it. You know, it's just cosmetics.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, Charlie. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to be doing a couple of talks this next week. I hope some of y'all are able to come to them. One is I'm going to be today and tomorrow, I'm going to be in Mobile at their Festival of Flowers. This is a big one. This is like their 30th anniversary. I'm giving a talk at 2 o'clock this afternoon on growing herbs, all kinds of little useful culinary herbs in different kind of containers and combinations. I make it easy and fun as possible, just like I do it. I'm going to have my pickup truck there, which has herbs planted in the back of it. But that's going to be the Mobile Festival of Flowers at Providence Hospital. It's going to be at 2 o'clock today, and again at 10 o'clock tomorrow, Saturday. So I hope you get there. And when I leave that, I'm headed straight up the road to Hattiesburg. I'm giving a program for the Arts Council. It's open to the public. They're having a home-decorated birdhouse competition. That's going to be at 2 o'clock. I'm going to be talking about yard art and birdhouses. It'll be a lot of fun. And then coming up Tuesday evening, this is going to be a real fun. I love coming to towns like I was raised in. I'm going to be going up to Carrollton, which is between Greenwood and Winona. I know they get tired of hearing that because they're their own place. I'm going to be at the Carrollton Community Center starting at 6:30 this coming Tuesday, 6:30 on March the 26th, and then floor plant swap on March the 28th, next Thursday morning at 9 in the morning. There's a couple of other things I want to give a shout-out about, but what's up?
Oh, I was just going to come in. You're busy, man.
Well, it's this time of year, you know. It's this time of year. It's getting and going. I've got probably 30 different things over the next month or so.
But, and not to mention our meet and greets coming up in April.
That's right. That's right. And this can be one in Starkville, one in
Oxford, and one in Hattiesburg.
In Hattiesburg. I'm going to be at all of those in my pickup truck with the flowers. Hey, give us a call, 1-877-MPB-RING. Meanwhile, let's talk to Lee in Madison. Hey, Lee, what you got going on?
Felder, I just wanted to let you know that the Madison County Master Gardeners are sponsoring the plant swap tomorrow morning, Saturday.
Oh, I wish I'd known about that. That sounds fun.
Well, it's at 9:30 at the library. And you've done these things many times, so you know how that works. But everybody needs to bring one well-rooted plant, and if they've got some more they want to give away, they can bring a few of those, too.
Okay, that's going to be at the Madison Library at 9 on Saturday morning?
9:30.
Oh, 9:30. Well, they need to get there at 9. You know how people are.
That's right. It's a good idea.
Okay. Hey, I wish I was going to make it. I'm going to be down in Mobile, but I hope y'all have a real, real good turnout.
I wish you could be there, too. I've been at plant swaps with you before.
All righty, Lee. Appreciate it. Good announcement. Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty, so there's going to be a plant swap at the Madison Library on Saturday morning. It starts at 9:30. Get there early. Bring a good plant. Next Thursday morning at the Flora Library. As far as I know, this is the oldest continuous plant swap in the known universe. 9 o'clock next Thursday morning at the little library in Flora, Mississippi. Going to head to Hattiesburg this afternoon and in the morning at the Festival of Flowers. Mobile Festival of Flowers in Hattiesburg tomorrow afternoon. We're going to be talking about some more of that kind of stuff. But I got some callers on the line. We're going to be talking about horsetail fern and green giant plants and all sorts of stuff like that. Give me a call, won't you? 1-877-MPB-RING. I'm going to drink me a little bit of coffee and smell some of these flowers I stole on the walk-in this morning. And we'll talk about all that when we get back. Felder Rushing here at Mississippi Public Broadcasting. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back. Horticulture's Phil Rush again. And by the way, this is something I had fun the other day. I got to talk to Allison on
AutoCorrect.
Allison, she's really, really cool. She's the resident car expert, and she actually rode around. She drove my pickup truck. First time a lady's ever driven my pickup truck, and it was kind of fun. I think I wouldn't mind doing that. But anyway, she drove it around, and she talked about my brakes, and I took it in and had them fixed. All it needed was some fluid. Thank you so much. I asked her, what is the quintessential tool that every car owner should have in their glove box, their glove compartment? And she said, screwdrivers, flathead, and Phillips head screwdriver. I'm thinking, I don't know what to use a screwdriver for. I said, I could stab a snake with it while I was standing in the side of the road waiting for a repair person to come up. And then we agreed that the best thing that everybody should have would be a tire air pressure gauge. Only does one thing, does it beautifully, comes in handy. And that's a nice little quintessential tool. So anyway, got some other things to talk about, but let's go to Vicksburg. Hey, Joel. Hey, I appreciate you holding. What's going on?
Good morning, Phil. I wanted to ask a question. Yeah. I had a flower bed just totally taken over by horsetail fern.
Oh, boy.
And I got a tiller and tilled it up, tried to get rid of all of it.
That didn't work.
That's what I was going to ask you. I didn't know if I should maybe try to come back and put some kind of 2,4-D or something like that down there to before I try to put some plants in there.
Well, here's my take. First of all, if you tilled it up really good, you got rid of most of it, and what will come back will be from little small pieces that aren't connected. So they'll be fairly easy to pull this first year before they get rooted and start to spread. So what I would do, if you tilled it and got most of it out, I would just go in and plant stuff, and then every time you think about it, just bend over, pull a few out, and drop them on the ground, and you will peter them out pretty quickly that way. 2,4-D is a commonly used herbicide, but it's not safe for the garden. It'll kill stuff around it. So if you're going to use a weed killer, and I'd rather people didn't have to, but if you're going to, let's use something that's not going to poison nearby plants or the soil, something like Roundup. But none of that's going to work on horsetail. This stuff outlived whatever killed the dinosaurs. Okay, I mean it's a really sturdy, and it's got a lot of silica and doesn't respond to weed killers like what I call vascular plants, more modern type plants. So I would just pull it up as best you can. The first summer you'll have a little bit here and there. The next year, practically none.
Okay, Bella, could I ask one more question?
Sure.
I had seen on the internet about mixing up some spray, vinegar, Epsom salt, soap, things like that. Does that work okay?
Nope.
Okay.
People are going to come up with all sorts of homework. They're going to reach for Epsom salts is fine, but plants need tiny, tiny bits of the element that's in it. And these are people who can't say, don't worry about it. They got to come up with something, and a lot of it is what I call hoodoo science. So it's really, really not big. And there's a lot of them out there. Do they work? A little bit sometimes, occasionally for some people. But are they really helpful? Nope.
Okay. Thank you, Felder.
All right. Oh, one other thing, Joel. That stuff is the horsetail fern is also called scouring rush, because you can get a handful of it and make your pots and pans shiny as can be.
Okay.
Just saying. So you clean up your shovel with it. After you dig some up, grab a handful, scrub it on your shovel, and make it nice and shiny again.
I'll do that. Thank you so much.
Good luck on it, Joel. All righty. Now let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Memphis, Tennessee. Is it Bashar? Bashar?
Yeah. Good morning.
Howdy. What's up?
I planted some green giant arborvitae.
Yep.
Used them as sort of like fencing. Planted them in October of last year.
Right.
And the branches, the top branches, seem to be browning. When you look at the center, take them off and look inside the tree.
Yeah.
Still a lot of green.
Yeah.
But the top and the high branches.
Yeah.
And the surface, it's sort of like brownish. Should I worry about this?
Well, yes and no. For one thing, that was last year's growth, okay? The stuff that grew the latter part of last year is what you're looking at right now. And because you just transplanted them, when you first set new plants out, their roots get damaged a little bit, so they're not able to transport water and stuff like that to the leaves. Also, they're more susceptible to staying a little too wet or a little too dry, because they're grown in pots, and when they're watered in pots, the extra water runs out of the hole in the bottom, and that doesn't happen when you put them in the ground. So they might have stayed a little extra wet, or they might have gotten a little dry. They might have dried out in the sun and the wind over the wintertime. But whatever causes leaves to dry out quicker than roots can resupply them is going to cause that browning. So three things to do. First of all, don't worry that much about it. Try not to overwater the plants. Give them a good soaking every couple of 3 weeks at the most, but a really good soaking. And then the new growth that comes out this spring is going to come out at the ends of that brown stuff, so the new growth should come out looking nice and pretty, and the brown stuff will be hidden. So main thing is don't let them stay dry. Try not to keep them wet. And let me ask you one thing, though. When you planted them, did you put them in nice wide holes or just stick them in the ground?
I kept probably a couple of inches on each side. I mean, there were some of them were really big. I'm
okay.
talking about 10, 12
okay.
feet.
Yeah.
Green
Let,
giant.
Let's do this. So go outside the original hole, if you can remember where they were. Take a shovel and go outside. You don't have to dig it, but just outside the original hole, go all the way around it and stick the shovel straight in and pull back a little bit just to sort of fracture it, sort of like the spokes of a wheel, you know, to make it where instead of a round, smooth hole, they got cracks going outward, radiating out like rays of a sun. This will help the water that's being kept around their roots escape. Instead of being in just a tight pot, they'll be able to seep into the soil around it. Because it could very well be they're just staying a little too wet.
Okay.
That'll help them get roots further on out away from that little small hole.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Good luck on it. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks.
Okay. Let's go to Bude, Mississippi. Is it Elvia? What's going on in Bude?
Elvia.
What's up?
Okay. Now I got a couple of pear trees I planted. I got a kefir. In the Orient.
Yeah, those are good ones.
Will they cross pollinate each other?
Yes and no, they will, but it's not going to affect the fruit, only the seeds.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't need something else to another pollinator, huh?
No, as a matter of fact, Orient and kefir are both the rare self-pollinating. You know, the most pears need cross-pollination, but kefir will do itself and Orient will do itself. So you got two good varieties. One's a good eating pear, one's a good cooking pear. Both of them are fairly resistant to diseases. They'll pollinate themselves.
Okay, that's what I need to know.
Oh, I want to ask you something. How long have they been in the ground?
About 2 weeks.
Okay. Did you prune them back when you set them out?
No, I didn't.
You know, listen, I'm not trying to get in your business here because you may have somebody's going to holler at you, but there's not a commercial pear grower on earth who would not prune those plants back to about 3 feet tall. Every single one of them would do it. The only people who don't are people who think you're paying for all that tree. What you're paying for is fruit down the road. If you'll cut it back, they'll be sturdier, stockier. They'll be easier to pick. They'll actually have more fruit quicker. So I go out, if somebody cares what you do, do it when they're not looking. But cut it back to about 3 feet tall.
Okay, my man. Cool.
It's going to half kill you, but it's going to help the trees. Trust me on this.
All right.
Good luck on it. All righty, folks. Horticulture's failed to rushing. Java, it's been kind of crazy. Hey, I sold some more plants coming in. You know, I walk all the way. That's 2 miles. Sometimes I park on this side of the interstate because it's just scary walking on the frontage road.
And the one thing about these flowers you brought in today, and I told you, they were quite fragrant.
Yeah, I mean, notice Rob, and it's a real weird, real sweet smell.
Yeah.
But these are, one is a big yellow thing, one is a pink, two-tone pink, and one is yellow and orange. These are native azaleas. They grow out in the woods. They're big plants. They're not like the azaleas you see around, you know, people's houses. Those are evergreen. These plants are small, large shrubs, small trees. They drop their leaves in the winter, so they're blooming right now with no leaves, and they are so delicate and airy. And get this, they are loaded with hummingbirds and stuff. So, and they smell good. And
yeah, no, they smell really good. I mean, you've brought in some things that weren't quite as fragrant, but I could tell those as soon as you brought them in.
It's a pretty enough little bouquet. Can we put this on a podcast?
Yeah, if you could.
Okay.
We'll bring them back here.
We'll do that. Native azaleas. There's pink ones. There's red ones. There's white ones. There's yellow ones. There's orange ones. I got three different kinds, and they're just terrific native plants. They need good drainage, so typically you see them growing on a slope. In the woods, you rarely see them along a fence row out in the middle of nowhere. Think dogwoods. That's where they normally grow. You can grow them in the full sun if you got good dirt and dig a nice wide hole. But they don't have a real strong root system like a Nandina or a holly or something. So wide hole, a little bit of organic matter, or plant them on a slope in the woods. They are fantastic plants. By the way, I talked to Libby Hartfield. She was here the other day for Creature Comfort. And I told her that I saw my first hummingbird and my first monarch butterfly. They're headed this way. And hummingbirds follow this native plant called red buckeye. They bloom all out in the woods. The hummingbirds follow those from the coast all the way up into New England and Canada. So if you've got buckeyes, put it this way, hummingbirds are back, monarchs are back, and Libby said lightning bugs are out there. Fireflies, lightning bugs, fireflies, whatever you want to call it. Lightning bugs, that works. Anyway, appreciate having folks like that here at MPB, her and Allison, and all the other folks who bring such a diverse amount of talent to people tuning into Mississippi Public Broadcasting. Hey, let's go to Ridgeland and talk with Laurie before we do a cheesy tune. Hey, Laurie.
Yes, hey.
Howdy, what's up?
Well, I want to find out if there are any plants that could possibly keep snakes away.
Nope.
That's what I thought.
And neither will lime, and neither will mothballs and any of that kind of stuff. The only thing that keeps snakes away is either smooth dirt or grass where they don't like crawling across open spaces because birds want to eat them. But no, there are no snake repellent plant. Never have been.
And okay.
Does it make your skin crawl just talking about it?
No.
You just don't want them.
That's right.
I guard with a little stick, and I just make noise because they don't like me more than you may not like them. Do you know what kind of snakes you might have come across?
Oh yeah, water moccasins.
Ouch! Those are the ones I would. You know, they got that real distinctly fat-necked, arrowhead-shaped head. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of little snakes out there that are good guys, and I try to lead them away. Copperheads, nope, can't garden around them.
Right.
So anyway, sorry about long answer. Nope, nothing. Sorry.
Okay.
Good luck.
That's what about.
You bet. Well, we got to cut to the chase here. And then people, well, you try this and try that and try that. No, I'm not into trying, folks. Here's what I learned. Here's what I've been taught. Here's what I've observed. Here's what I've looked up. And this tiny snake repellent plant. But if it makes you feel better, put mothballs and lime around your yard, go for it. Make you feel better, and that's 90% of the battle. By the way, this is a really stupid thing. We're going to bring out some cheesy music, but I found out something this week that blew me away. Humpty Dumpty wasn't an egg. And nowhere does it mention Humpty Dumpty was an egg. Okay, I'm just throwing that out. I tell you what, let's calm down, listen to some cheesy music, and we're going to come back with your phone calls here at Mississippi Public Broadcasting. I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing, me and Java Chapman, Kevin Farrell in there greeting the calls. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Horticulture's Felder Rushing. Hope you got that little earworm. Plant man knows where the plants do grow. Really cheesy. Hey, I'm looking forward to seeing some of y'all this afternoon at Mobile, the Festival of Flowers. I'm going to be there at 2 o'clock talking about easy, fun, useful culinary herbs in a wide variety of containers. Also, I'm going to be giving that same program tomorrow morning at the Festival of Flowers in Mobile. It's at Providence Hospital. It's real easy to get to. I'm going to be there at 10 o'clock in the morning. And then when I get off of that, I'm scooting straight up the road to Hattiesburg, giving a program for the Hattiesburg Arts Council on yard art. They've got a birdhouse contest, and I've got two birdhouses in with the herbs planted in the back of my truck. Tuesday evening, 6:30, Carrollton Community House. Carrollton, Mississippi is right off Highway 82. It's in Carrollton, not North Carrollton. It's pretty end, so I thought the people are there. It does make a difference. And then the flora plant swap at 9 o'clock next Thursday morning. There's a plant swap in the Madison Library tomorrow morning at 9:30. Some other things coming up, nothing real soon, but next Friday night, a week from tonight, I'm going to be giving a program at the library in Kiln. The Kiln, K-I-L-N. That's going to be Friday evening. And then the very next morning, I'm going to be doing a program at the library in Bay St. Louis. So Gulf Coast people over on the western side, Kiln Library Friday evening, Bay St. Louis Library Saturday morning. Got some other stuff coming up, but they're a couple of weeks off, so we got plenty of time to talk about that. But I'm going to be doing a thing in Meridian. I'm going to be doing a thing in New Albany, Winona, Walnut Grove, Clarksdale, Oxford. We got plenty of stuff. Tupelo, going to be scooting around. So if you want some a list of some of these kind of things, shoot me an email. I'll be glad to send it to you. It's not a whole lot, but might be a lot to remember. Anyway, the email is garden@mpbonline.org. You want to give us a call? We've got the lines just open wide up, and it's toll-free, 1-877-MPB-RING, MPB-RING. I was talking about some of the native plants that the hummingbirds like. In general, the native woodland-type plants, because this is a woodland part of the world. Before we cleared it out and made towns and farms and, you know, fields and all like that, it was woodland. So a lot of the plants that attract the native wildlife are native woodland plants. These native azaleas, beautiful flowers, bright yellow, very fragrant, pink, orange, red, but also the native red buckeye. So it's a small tree, has spikes of red flowers, look like big red salvias. Hummingbirds are just drip off of them. And when they start blooming on the Gulf Coast, as they flower north, slowly northward, every couple of weeks they move up 100 miles or 150 miles or so north. As they bloom, the hummingbirds follow them north. And so those of us who have red buckeyes have got hummingbirds. Those of you who don't have red buckeyes, you can borrow some of our hummingbirds. Put your hummingbird feeder out because they're in town. Doesn't have to have red water. You don't have to add the food color, but something that's red will attract them at first. My experience, one of the very best butterfly and hummingbird plants from my garden is, believe it or not, a blue flower. It's a perennial salvia. The salvias come back every year. They start blooming fairly early. They bloom all summer and fall, and hummingbirds and butterflies just love them. Give us a call if there's some things you want to chat about. Toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. I want to throw out just a couple of other things going on. I mentioned that I'm doing a lot of programs at libraries and garden clubs and community centers, but they're going to have a festival in New Albany April the 6th. And I'm doing a program up there in the afternoon. But that morning, they have a big new building, the Arts Building, downtown Meridian. You can't miss it. As soon as you pull off the interstate, it's a beautiful, huge building. It's called the MAX, M-A-X. I'm doing a plant swap there. I guess that would be 2 weeks, 2 weeks from now. Going to be doing a plant swap. And going to scoot across the street and talk to the folks at the farmer's market. That's going to be a whole lot of fun. They've never done something like this at the MAX. And it's got a whole lot of very interesting place. So hope to see some of y'all there on Saturday, April the 6th. And then that afternoon in New Albany at their Home and Garden Festival. Anyway,
have you been up to the MAX, Felder?
I have. Matter of fact, they have a display of me.
Oh, wow.
They got one of my little bottle trees and a pair of gloves and a couple of my books and all.
Because I know that Jim Henson exhibit is up there.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't mind going to see that.
It's a cool place. I mean, it's all sorts of interactive stuff. It's multiple levels. They have a big sound stage where they have all sorts of concerts and stuff. It's a cool place. And I shouldn't say this because I'm from Mississippi and I'm proud of Mississippi, but I'm really surprised we got something that nice
wow,
in Mississippi because
okay.
It's really, really nice. You know, it's stay there beyond what we had to have. But anyway, look forward to that. If you want to give us a call, toll free 1-877-MPB-RING. Let's slide over to Louisiana. And nope, Timothy, is he there yet? Ain't got it put up yet. Don't push any buttons. Tell me when I can push this button.
You're just going a little too fast, but we're finna get Timothy on the line.
Okay. Here we go. Looks like he's on the line now. Timothy, are you there?
Hello.
Hey, what's going on? Hey-hoo.
Good morning to you. What's the best soil type for cannabis production in the South?
The best what kind of plant?
Soil type.
It's just a weed. It grow in any kind of dirt, but you didn't hit. You know,
I can't.
But it's not that big a deal. It's just a weed.
All right.
But be careful. It's against the law.
That's it.
Okay. Well, okay. In Louisiana, Mississippi, just be cool about it, okay? Let's move on to Chris up in Oxford. Hey, Chris, good morning. Chris, you there? Oh. Okay, there's a little red thing with a slash through it. Wait till that turns to green and blinky. There we go, green and blinky. Chris, are you there from Oxford?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I got bifocals. They put all these buttons right at my bifocal line. What's going on?
Well, I live at the bottom of a hill.
Yeah?
And don't have a lot of grass in my front yard, and am trying to remedy that. Talked with the landscape guy and said that it'd be good to stay about 10 feet away from the base of the trees.
Yeah.
With some flowers or vegetation or something. And I was wondering, you know, I got a lot of shade right there. You know, what would be the best plan for me to do?
Oh, yeah. It's a good question. It's a real common thing, too, Chris. And my hat's off to the landscaper telling the truth about it. In my 40-something years of experience after studying turf management at Mississippi State, I have yet to see a single success story of getting grass started in the shade. So he gave you some good advice. As far as what to plant under, start off with just mulch, leaves, bark, whatever, but make the place brown, okay? So you have green grass and brown mulch. And that'll do two things. First of all, right off the bat, it makes the grass look better. It makes it distinct, a distinct shape. But also, it helps improve the soil for whatever you want to plant there, because as the mulch decomposes, it improves the dirt so your ground covers can grow better. Buys you some time and improves the dirt. And if you're right around Oxford, you'll see, and just look at what people are using in the shade, you'll see English ivy, which works great. And don't worry about it killing the trees. It won't. I know people say it will, but it won't. You'll see Asiatic jasmine, and you'll see monkey grass, either the little stuff called Mondo grass or the bigger stuff called Liriope or Liriope. But the monkey grass, Asiatic jasmine, and ivy. Those are your best to start with to fill up space.
Excellent.
But let me throw this out, though, from a landscaping point of view, and I do this a lot. If you'll make a distinct line where the grass is here, the brown mulch is there, that line creates a visual effect, and it makes the grass look better. But think about this. Instead of making the shade garden the shape, make the lawn the shape. You know, lay it out so that the lawn is the primary shape, and it'll stand out like a gem, like a throw rug, rather than default, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
It's a different way of looking at it, but it makes all the difference. If the green is the dominant, make that the shape, and let the flower beds be the default instead of the other way around.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate it. First time, long time. You're doing a great job.
I appreciate it. Hey, shoot me an email. We can get a little bit more detail that way. But I work a lot. I do a lot of garden consultations with shade stuff, and there's some really cool stuff. And by the way, I'm going to be in Oxford next month, so hopefully see you there. I'm going to be at the library.
Absolutely. I just heard you saying that, and that spurred my phone coming out to call you.
Well, welcome. Appreciate it, man.
All right. Thanks.
All righty. Again, if you want to shoot me an email, if you need more detail, or if you want to, you know, some of my recommendations set people's teeth on edge because it's not what they want to hear or not what they approve of or whatever. And I try to be respectful of people's different approaches. Okay, I'm gonna say this. Garden opinions are like toilet paper. Some people roll towards the wall. Some people roll away from the wall. And nobody's going to change their minds. But it really doesn't matter. How'd I do on that one, Java?
I'll accept it.
Your eyes were going. Your eyes got real big there. You know, whether you prune your crepe myrtles or not, it's like rolling toilet paper. I don't care. Towards the wall, away from the wall. Just if you don't like us, just don't go to somebody else's house and change the roll around, okay? I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing. We've got some lines open. 1-877-MPB-RING. We'll be right back with more right after this. All righty, folks, welcome back. Horticulture's Felder Rushing. A lot of things going on starting this weekend. I'm going to give them one more shout before it's over, but let's start out by talking with Bob in Hattiesburg. Hey, Bob, what's up, sir?
How you doing, Felder? So, I got a problem.
Yeah?
And others in my neighborhood have the same issue. It seems like all the hawthorn shrubs that we have around the foundation mm-hmm. of our houses are just turned brown.
Yeah. Oh, there's a couple of things. One is that late freeze we got browned the foliage of a lot of plants, including, I think I pushed some button. Keep your fingers off the button. Bob is gone, but I hope you're still listening, Bob. Here's the deal. The new growth, the real tender stuff of a lot of plants, including unkillable ligustrum, turned brown because of that late freeze. Not that big a deal. They should still flower perfectly well. They'll put out new growth that'll cover up the old stuff. So I wouldn't worry that much about it. If it all happened at once, that's what that's going to be, that late cold snap. We do have a disease that affects Indian hawthorns. It's very common on red-tipped photinias, but I guess on Indian hawthorns, it's called little round spots on the leaves, real dark spots, and it can cause the entire leaves to turn brown and shed. But if this is happening all over the place, happen at once, this could be that late frost. Not that big a deal. I would not prune them because they bloom on the stuff that's already out there. If you prune them, they go this year's flowers. So let's just kind of ignore it. If everybody's in that same boat, everybody can sort of hold their heads up and say, well, it's just what Indian hawthorns do. The brownifolia, springy brownifolia. That's the Latin name of... Okay. Let's go to Brenda calling from Pascagoula. Hey, Brenda, good morning.
Hi. First of all, I'm in my car taking my cat to the vet, so please ignore her.
Okay.
Sorry. I have a dogwood tree that I've had in a large pot for about 3 years, mm-hmm. and I planted it about 3 weeks ago. Actually, I had a friend plant it.
Right.
And it's the crown is supposed to be at the... at the level or a little above of well, he planted it a little too deep.
No, that'll kill it. That'll kill
it, Brenda. Okay, I'll have to redig it. My brother-in-law told me that I could not grow a dogwood tree in the swampy dirt in Pascagoula, so I'm trying to prove him wrong.
Well, unfortunately, the dogwood is going to be a victim in this little argument here. Dogwoods don't grow in low-wet areas, but here's what you can do, Brenda. Have them bring in some real dirt, not a bunch of potting soil and stuff, but some real dirt. And
topsoil
with a little peat moss or other stuff added to it. Dig a wide hole and add stuff to your native dirt. Spread this stuff on top and then stir it in with your native dirt so it's like a low baseball pitcher's mound, 4, 5, 6 inches in the middle over about 3 or 4 feet, and plant the dogwood high in that with the dirt mounded up to it, and mm-hmm. that'll put the crown up above the ground around it.
Okay, I've been so worried since he did that.
Dogwoods aren't easy. They're one of the most difficult new plants for the garden, but if you'll mound it up, again, maybe 4 feet across, 5 or 6 inches in the middle. And then there's one other thing, Brenda. Find somebody who's got a dogwood that's doing okay. Mm-hmm. Dig some of the dirt, right, the shallow dirt, up under it and mix it into your dirt. And it sounds kind of weird, but there's a stuff in soil called mycorrhizae that some plants depend on. Dogwood's one of those plants. So if you'll get some dogwood dirt under a mature tree, mix it in with yours. You don't have to do it right away, but sometime this year, that'll inoculate your soil with that real important little stuff called mycorrhizae that really does help dogwoods.
Okay, spell that word, micro what?
M-Y-C-C, and take it from there. If you Google M-Y-C-C-H, mycorrhizae, anyway, dogwood dirt, that's how I spell it.
Okay. So do I need to quickly replant it?
Yes, if it stays really, really wet, it's because it's used to that drainage in the pot and doesn't have that in your dirt.
Meanwhile, well, I had shells in the bottom of the pot, like seashells.
Yeah.
So it gave it a little, air.
Well, but see, they ain't there anymore. So hole, raised up, little dogwood dirt, and then take it from there. And hug your cat.
Say again?
Your cat's having a miserable time. Bye.
No, bye-bye. Thank you.
Ah, let's go now to Memphis, Tennessee. Hey, Jerry, good morning, sir.
Yes, sir. You said a while back about putting vinegar on eggshells to help dissolve better so the plants can use them. What kind of ratio should you use for that?
The eggshells don't break down quickly into the kind of calcium that plants use, so the vinegar converts the calcium to a plant-usable calcium. It doesn't take very much. If you grind the eggshells up a pretty good bit, just cover them with vinegar. It foams and fizzes. It goes nuts. But then you can use the eggshells, no problem.
So you don't have to dissolve them, all right.
No. All you wanted, that vinegar, the acetic acid, it converts the calcium into a usable plant type of calcium.
All right, one more question, please. I like to take and save my cardboard that I get in packages and stuff.
Yeah.
Pull all the plastic off it and put that on the ground around my trees and stuff, and put my lawn clippings on top of that. Is that a problem or
no?
It's
fantastic. It's basically flattened out tree leaves. It's perfectly okay. If you're going to put it around shrubs and other things, I wouldn't lay it on too thick because temporarily it can keep water from getting down to the roots. But it's perfectly fine.
Well, you're a pleasure to listen to, and I support MPB and. Thank you very much for being here.
Bet, Jerry. Appreciate your call. Thanks so much for the compliment, too. We do have fun here at MPB. Now, let's go up to Wayne, a caller for Walls, Mississippi. Wayne, you can't get much further north of Mississippi than Walls, Mississippi.
That's correct.
What's up?
How are you today?
Fine.
I'm wondering, now, I've had four or five different people come out and spray for weeds on my yard.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get any better. So anyway, I remember my grandfather used to burn his yard down to black ash every springtime.
Yep.
And then it would grow back green. Didn't look like, now that's when I was a kid, I didn't know much about no weeds being in there, but it didn't look like the weeds was in there.
Right.
So is that a good remedy to get rid of some weeds, and is it beneficial to do to the lawn?
Well, first of all, keep in mind that I remember people used to burn their lawns off too. But then I studied turf management. Burning, it really kicks your grass hard. It's not a good thing to do. Bermuda grass will come back from the roots. Other grasses won't. But it's never a good idea to burn the grass off. But at the same time, that's what you did. That's before we had a lot of TV and radio and internet stuff. It was, did it for entertainment and to get away from mama for a few minutes. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
But it actually hurts the grass. Here's the deal with your weeds, though, in a nutshell. Spraying weeds doesn't control weeds. It just kills a few temporarily. But if you've got a bunch of weeds, that tells me your grass is thin, which, by the way, burning thins it out even more. If you'll spend this summer getting your grass a little bit thicker, a little bit healthier, a little bit of fertilizer next month, not this month, next month, a little bit of fertilizer, and raise your mower up a notch, your grass will get thicker, you'll have fewer weeds. Those are the main weed controls. The herbicides, you're just sort of like brushing mosquitoes off. More are going to come back. See,
right,
so
right.
You know, spraying for weeds is not good weed control. It's just temporary abatement. So
when you say raising the lawnmower up a notch, what is the height that I should be leaving my grass when I cut?
What kind of grass?
About 2 inches now.
What kind of grass you got?
Oh, God, I don't know. I got as much grass as I got weeds, I reckon.
Well, somewhere in the middle, Different grasses have preferred heights, Bermuda grass likes to be cut close, but if you don't water and fertilize and all that stuff, it's going to get thin. So let's just say mow it at a medium setting and just don't set fire to it. Besides that, the neighbors are definitely going to call the fire department on you.
Well, I don't care.
Well, there's a proud but tacit difference between not caring and not letting it bother you.
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Well, good luck on it, man. We got the scoot. Okay, real quick, folks, I'm headed to the, as soon as I get off the air, I'm headed to Mobile, to the Mobile Flower Show. The Festival of Flowers is going to be there at 2 o'clock today and 10 o'clock in the morning, talking about herbs, easy, fun herbs that even kids can grow. I'm going to Hattiesburg for 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, talking about yard art for the Mississippi Arts Council. 6:30 next Tuesday at the Carrollton Community Center, Carrollton, Mississippi. Then a floral plant swap at 9 o'clock on next Thursday morning. After that, we'll talk about that next week, but I'm going to be on the Gulf Coast next Friday evening in Kiln, and next Saturday, Bay St. Louis. Got some other stuff coming up that'll get us by for today. Hey, the Gestalt Gardener is a production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting. My awesome producer, Java Chapman. Phone greeter in there, Kevin Farrell. You know, these are big wigs here at MPB, and they take time from their schedule to help us get this garden party rolling. We appreciate that. You can tune in all week long to MPB, listen to a wide variety of topics. If you got gardening questions, shoot me an email, garden@mpbonline.org. Meanwhile, if you get a chance, take a kid to a farmer's market or a neighbor, young neighbors, that works, or take them to a garden center and just show them how to do what we do best, folks, and that's get dirty. See y'all next week.